Well, welcome one and all to our Friday evening church service. Welcome to those listening on the phone and to the recording. And welcome to those gathered here in our online home church on this 19th day of August 2016. Sabbath blessings to you all, and it's good to be back in fellowship. And praise our God and glorify His holy name for protecting us and keeping us in health and allowing us to come back together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's good to see you all once again. Jesus Saves is our opening song, and you can find this beautiful hymn on our website in the home church section under music and under hymns. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the mountains, cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing, you islands of the sea, echo back, you ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By His death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout it brightly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And amen. This is our song of victory. Jesus saves us from sin and death and gives us eternal life. And praise His holy name for making it possible. Let us please bow our heads and our knees as far as we're able to do so for opening prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy bountiful blessings, for Your answers to our prayers, for Your watchful care and divine protection, and for Your overruling providence in our lives. Thank You so much for preventing the devil from doing us great mischief in so many ways. Thank You so much, Father, for giving us a guardian angel that has indeed protected us in a myriad of ways that we know nothing of, and has prevented the devil from ending our life or causing us so much more tribulation, pain, and anguish than we have endured through already. Thank you for being such a merciful, loving, and compassionate Father. And we meet here in the name of Jesus to praise and extol your holy name. And I pray, dear Father, and welcome you as an honored guest in this home church and give you full and complete control of the meetings and of my life. And I pray that each one here will do the same with their lives. Father, please shine upon us the light of truth. Fill our hearts with thy love. Bring the joy and the peace and the love that surrounds you and your throne down to each one of us. And help us to partake largely of these godly attributes. And thank you for being here and for doing so. Dear Savior, we pray that thy presence will be here. Indeed, dispel darkness in our hearts with your life, truth, and the way to salvation. And thank you so much indeed for lightening our hearts and for being an abiding guest here. We also pray, dear Spirit, that you will be here in our midst to lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error. Let all custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and false understandings and interpretation fall as chaff and be blown away, so that only the truth as it is in Jesus and the correct interpretation and understanding of his word of life will be open to our minds. And thank you for freely allowing us to partake of this wonderful, marvelous gift of truth. Thank you for setting us free and digging us out of the pit of Babylon and setting our feet upon the solid rock of our Savior. Father, we thank you that thy truth is indeed filling this earth in a greater way, that your glory is indeed blazing across this world and awakening hearts to the realization of the soon coming of Jesus Christ to take his ransomed home. Help them to get ready. Help them to step fast. And dear Father, please help us not to let slip out of our practice, out of our minds and beliefs, a single aspect of the present truth. But help us to become more settled and established into this message of salvation, so that we can indeed let our light shine before men and women, that they may praise God for seeing Jesus Christ alive in us. So please be with us, and thank you so much for doing so. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and it's good to be back in fellowship with you all. Our study book is Patriarchs and Prophets. We're in chapter 28, entitled Idolatry at Sinai. And we're down about halfway on page 327 to the paragraph that starts out, "By the Divine Direction." And we left off with understanding that some of the consequences to the children of Israel partaking or being connected with the apostasy of the golden calf and the rebellion that had taken place there. Part of the consequences for that apostasy was that God's presence left the camp and now was out in the wilderness. And God told them that he would not go up in the midst of thee, or in other words, to be connected in their midst, lest they would be consumed. And the people were directed to take off all of their ornaments from them and to basically be in a position of humility and contriteness and repentance. And those that were truly repentant took off all their ornaments. In other words, there was nothing connected with them now that would draw attention to self. But everything that was connected to uplifting self was put away. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. By the divine direction, the tent that had served as a temporary place of worship was removed afar off from the camp. So here we have this tent or tabernacle, if you will, that used to be within the midst of the children of Israel, but now God directed that it was to be removed from the camp and placed afar off in the wilderness. So now, where were the people going to go to worship God? God was not in their midst. So then they had to leave the camp and go out into the wilderness in order to worship God. And it was all because of apostasy. So if there's apostasy in the churches of today, then where's the presence of God? Any ideas? Amen. God's presence is outside of all of those apostate churches. Amen. God's presence is not in the midst of apostasy. So then, where do the people that are connected with those apostate churches need to go in order to worship God? Going to the apostate church to worship God is accomplishing nothing because God isn't there. So then all of the church members in all of the apostate Babylonian churches have to leave the camp. They have to go out of the church into the wilderness. In other words, away from all of the tabernacles and church buildings and sanctuaries and temples and worship God outside of all of these places. God's presence isn't there. So if God's presence isn't in the church, then whose presence is? Amen. The presence of Satan, the author of apostasy. So if you're part of any of the apostate churches, whether Catholic or Methodist or Baptist or Nazarene, Episcopal, Evangelical, Assemblies of God, Seventh-day Adventist, Worldwide Church of God. If you're part of any of these apostate churches, God's presence isn't there. And in order to worship God, you have to leave those churches. That's part of the consequences of apostasy. So by divine direction, the place of worship was removed afar off from the camp. Continuing. This was still further evidence that God had withdrawn his presence from them. He would reveal himself to Moses, but not to such a people. The rebuke was keenly felt, and to the conscience-smitten multitudes it seemed a foreboding of greater calamity. Had not the Lord separated Moses from the camp that he might utterly destroy them? But they were not left without hope. The tent was pitched without the encampment, but Moses called it the tabernacle of the congregation. So God hadn't removed his presence so far away from the apostate people that they had no more hope of ever coming back into God's presence. But now they had a choice to make. Do they remain in the camp without God's presence? Or do they prove their repentance and contriteness of heart and desire to be received back into God's favor by leaving the camp to the place where his presence was found? So even though they deserved death and destruction because of their connection with apostasy, yet God didn't fully abandon them. He could no longer be in their midst, but he gave them a chance to come back into connection with him. And now they had a choice to make. It's the very same situation today, dear ones. The last message of mercy that goes worldwide to all of God's professed followers is Babylon is the church, is your church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. God's presence is no longer within that Babylonian apostate church. And in order to be reconnected with God, God beckons his people to come out of her and to connect themselves with him where his presence is found. So the tent was pitched without the encampment, but not so far away that they were left without hope, but they could see it. It was called the tabernacle of the congregation. God's presence was there. So here we see there's actually two churches. There's the church that the people are connected with that was connected with apostasy, and then there's God's church out in the wilderness, which is the true church. obviously it's out in the wilderness. What makes that the true church compared to the majority of God's people in the apostate camp? Amen. God is there. God's presence is what constitutes His true church. And God's presence wasn't connected in the apostate congregations, even though they were in the majority as far as members, as far as numbers. God's true church was out in the wilderness, and only those that were truly humble and repentant were willing to leave the camp of the apostates in order to be connected with God and become part of His true church, even though that was the minority. Continuing, all who were truly penitent and desired to return to the Lord were directed to repair thither to confess their sins and seek His mercy. When they returned to their tents, Moses entered the tabernacle. With agonizing interest, the people watched for some token that His intercessions in their behalf were accepted. So all that were truly repentant and desired to return to God left. They separated. They came out and returned to the Lord, not within their apostate congregations, but out in the wilderness where the presence of God was found. So after they had left, they were not just rejoicing that they had escaped apostasy and were now closer to God. They were confessing their sins and seeking His mercy because they had been connected with apostasy. And they wanted to be forgiven and cleansed of being the enemies of God. Dear ones, when you left the apostate church, did you humbly and penitently seek for God to cleanse you from the stain of apostasy that you were connected with? If not, we need to do so. We need to seek God's mercy. We need to seek His forgiveness, cleansing us from our participation and union and connection with Babylon, so that we might be fully cleansed and received back into His good graces, being our God and we being His people. Recognizing the present truth that the church is Babylon and you need to come out of her is one thing. But once you come out, you're going to the Lord. And if you're still spotted with that stain of apostasy, with that stain of rebellion against God, with that stain of giving God up in order to follow His enemy, that has to be cleansed from us before God will accept us back as His sons and daughters. The question in the room says, what is the stain of apostasy? Apostasy is the abandoning of the faith that you once believed in. So in regards to the three angels' messages, it is giving up the three angels' messages and accepting the counterfeit messages of the devil, and yet still calling yourself a true faithful follower of God. That's what apostasy means. So instead of being clothed in the pure white garments of Christ's righteousness, in other words, following the present truth, you instead have allowed that precious garment of righteousness to be removed, and now you're clothed in the filthy garments of sin and apostasy. So when you come out of the fallen church, following the loud cry message, the present truth, you're still contaminated with those filthy garments of apostasy and sin. And until you repent in humility and contrition and sincerity, for God to forgive you for your connection with apostasy and to cleanse you through the precious blood, merits, and righteousness of Jesus Christ, you're still contaminated. And God can't accept you back as his sons and daughters. That's what we're reading here that took place regarding the apostasy of the golden calf. The people, because of their union and connection with that apostasy, were contaminated by it. God couldn't dwell in their midst. God and Satan have no union or companionship. So when the people chose apostasy, they were rejecting God, and he left the camp. Now the people have a choice to make. Do they leave the camp and follow God outside and plead with him to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness? Or do they just leave and take the apostasy with them? Is God going to accept an apostate that leaves the church? Not at all. They not only have to give up the apostate church, they have to give up the apostasy. So all who were truly penitent left the camp and came to that place of worship afar off from the camp where God's presence was, in penitence, in contrition of heart, confessing their sins and seeking his mercy. Continuing. With agonizing interest, the people watched for some token that Moses' intercessions in their behalf were accepted. So when we leave the church and we come back to God pleading for cleansing, we look to our great intercessor, our great high priest in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, to intercede, mediate between us and God. And we're looking for some token that God has accepted Christ's intercessions on our behalf. Continuing. If God should condescend to meet with him, they might hope that they were not to be utterly consumed. When the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle, the people wept for joy. And they rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. So when they left the apostasy and went to the place where God's presence was, and then they returned, where did they go? Did they go to the place where the tabernacle used to be? No. They went to their homes and were still earnestly pleading with God to accept the mediations of their intercessor on their behalf. And when the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle, the people recognized that God had accepted the intercession of Moses in their behalf, and they rose up and worshiped in their homes. It's the same today, dear ones. After we have left the fallen churches and are seeking the presence of God outside of them, pleading with Him to forgive us and cleanse us from the stain of sin and apostasy, we look to our great intercessor between God and us, our Lord God Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And dear ones, God accepts the mediatorial work of our great high priest Jesus Christ in our behalf. We are forgiven, cleansed, purified, justified, and sanctified. And God accepts us back as His sons and daughters. That's a cause for weeping, for joy, because we've been accepted back as the children of God and no longer are the children of the wicked one. But then after being cleansed and accepted back as God's children, are we to go back to the apostate churches to worship God when He's not there? Do we go back to Babylon to become contaminated with that wicked place? No. So then where do we worship God after being accepted back as His children? Amen. We follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. But where do we worship God now? Every man, every woman in his tent. In other words, we worship God in the home. Home churches. And this experience is nothing new. When Christ and the disciples left the Jewish church, Christ was crucified, of course, and never went back. But where did the disciples choose to worship God? Where did Paul direct the Gentile converts to worship God? In their homes. Romans 16:5, greet the church that is in their home. Colossians 4:15, greet the church that is in their home. Just like the children of Israel. And just like today, dear ones. You know, sometimes, like in Acts 18, I believe it is, the home church was right next door to the established Jewish church. So when the people came to worship God on the Sabbath, they had a choice to make. Do they go to the apostate Jewish church, or do they go to the present truth following home church? It's the same choice today, dear ones. Are there any thoughts, questions, comments, anything else that you'd like to share before we continue? And please go right ahead.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. I have a question. This brings up a question that I have wondered about. I wondered, why did the Seventh-day Adventist Church not just establish, you know, home churches, having, you know, all the life that they had that others didn't have at this end times? And that's just something I've wondered about, you know, several times, why in seeing the light of these things you're talking about and writing about it, did they just have buildings rather than just stick with the home churches? And do the movement, you know, denomination that way. It's just a question I've had for a while.
Well, thank you for your question. And in the beginning, that's where they were holding their church services, was in the homes. But as the truth continued to be shared and more people embraced the truth, pretty soon the number of worshipers was greater than the home could handle. And so because of the increase of numbers, they decided to build or purchase bigger places and develop them into a church. So in the beginning, it was home churches, but then as the numbers increased, they recognized they needed to have a more suitable building to accommodate the greater number of worshipers. And from that point, it just seemed to be, I guess, custom and tradition that you have to have a building to worship God instead of in the home. And as you look at, true, a comment in the room says, I wish they'd stuck with the home church. And that would be nice, because when the numbers got too large for a particular home, they could have found another home that was bigger, of another fellow believer. Or they could have divided the worshipers and had them meet in two different places. So now instead of just one home church, there would be two home churches. There would be two different places to worship God in two different areas, and thus have a greater ability of reaching beyond just the location of the one home church. But that's not what happened with the Adventists. That's not what happened with the Protestants. That's not what happened with the early Christians or the Catholics. They seem to grow out of the simplicity of worshiping God in the home. And that can be a point of warning for us. So, thank you for your question, dear sister. Are there any other thoughts on this particular...
So have a blessing to everyone. Yes, I just want to mention that when we went and visit, when we went to Michigan and see where where the Seventh-day Adventists started, we visit some of the churches right there that how they were worshiped. And when we went in the building, they only had, like, at that time, the Ten Commandments. That's it. That's all they had. And they had the image of Nebuchadnezzar with the head of gold and everything. And that's all they had. But now today, if you go to a Seventh-day Adventist, they have all these things. They got crosses. They have all these things. So it's true. Little by little, they start bringing in custom and tradition, and now it's no more, it was not no more true, it was true and error mixed together. So I just want to mention that.
Amen, and thank you, sister. And yeah, it's like the simplicity that they had in the beginning was given up for more complexity. And again, that can be a danger, becoming so rigid that the Holy Spirit can't work. You can have so many policies and man-made rules and laws that it shuts out the Holy Spirit from being able to move upon the hearts of the people to accomplish a work in a short time. But with fellowshipping in your home, with having home churches, you're forced back into a simplicity. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments or questions, dear ones?
I was reading in Patriarchs and Prophets this morning about the apostasy, and this was when God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments, and the people that were with the Israelites, there was a lot of them that left Egypt that did not believe in God. But they left because they wanted to get away from Egypt, and they were curious to see this God of Israel. And most of the problems started with these people that had no love for God. They were mixed in, just like with our churches today. There's a lot of unbelievers that are mixed in, and they bring apostasy in because their heart is not renewed. But there was always those Israelites that were faithful to God, and those are the ones that were seeking Him and having the services in their home.
Amen. Amen. And that is true. And it's also the same situation in the home churches. There's going to be individuals that fellowship with God's people that are unconverted in heart. they may intellectually understand the truth, but they are not allowing the truth to take hold in their hearts and lives. And it is these unconverted individuals that are always going to bring in problems among God's people. But just because they bring in problems doesn't mean they're to be ostracized. Even though they are unconverted in heart, doesn't mean they're to be shut out and cast away. It is the association of these unconverted in heart, these double-minded individuals, these curious ones, with God's true followers that encourages them. I don't want to use the word entices, but it works upon their hearts to soften and subdue them and bring them to repentance and to a full conversion with God. Christ sought out those that needed his help. He was not content to remain just among those who didn't need his help. It's the same with God's people fellowshipping one with another. So we're going to have individuals that are unconverted associating with us. And that's perfectly fine. It is the association together with those walking in the light that encourages and helps and brings the unconverted to a decision to give up their waywardness in order to follow in the love, compassion, and mercy of God. Now, sometimes the unconverted will choose to live in open sin and will not want to repent of it. And that is the time in which a decision is made to separate them from fellowship. There's going to be other situations in which they bring in strange interpretations or cause problems in other ways. And if it's something that is not major but minor, then these areas can be dealt with in a way that will bring glory to God and help to open their understanding. Question in the room says, what about people that bring in strange Holy Spirit doctrines or strange doctrines and try to shove it down your throats? And it's going to happen and will continue to happen. And you just have to meet the strange doctrines with a thus saith the Lord and try to bring the individuals to see and to recognize that what they believe or what they are bringing forth does not abide to the law and to the testimony in all areas. And thus it is not light, but darkness. So it's just like with Christ recognizing that Judas was unconverted. Christ recognizing that Peter was unconverted. Christ did not cast Peter and Judas away because they were unconverted. He kept them close to him and continued to bring them the present truth and to reveal to them the character of God so that their hearts would melt and be given fully to God and His truth. It worked with Peter, but he had to reach the point of recognizing that trusting in his own self and abilities only led him to denying Christ. But when he gave self up and rested upon God's merciful kindness, that's when he became converted and was able to feed God's flock. Judas, on the other hand, never gave self up. He followed his own ways instead of the ways of Christ, and he lost salvation. So, yes, indeed, there's going to be a mixed multitude among us here, among God's home churches all around the world. And that's perfectly fine. Because we're to seek and to save the lost wherever they may be, even in our very midst. And praise God for His taking the time to seek and to save each one of us, dear ones. So here were these unconverted Israelites mixed together with the fully converted Israelites. And both were given the privilege of following where God opened the door to them. And that was out of the camp of apostasy in order to meet with God in the wilderness, to be forgiven their sins, and then to worship God in their homes. Amen. Comment in the room says, oh, what the Lord has done for us. Amen indeed, and praise His holy name for giving us that second chance. And praise our holy Savior for being our intercessor before God. And thank the Holy Spirit for being another intercessor that pleads before God the things we know not how to plead. So, dear ones, God has made everything already possible to bring about our full and complete forgiveness, cleansing, and salvation. If we will just comply with the conditions and follow the Lamb outside the camp, and then follow Him whithersoever He goeth. And this is my prayer.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Hugs and love. Have a testimony. And I don't know how God does things, but He always does things. And it's evident in my life. And I don't, even if people don't see it, and I try to tell them, it's evident in my life for sure. This past week, I want to praise the Lord for everything. But this past week, I was blessed with two major gifts in my life. And praise the Lord, I was blessed with a brand new solar generator. I have little ones that run a lot of things in my house because I don't have conventional electricity and things like most people do. But this is a this is a big generator. Actually, it'll run just about everything in my house. I only have one light. But in the meantime, so praise the Lord for that. And then to top that off, I was blessed with a carpenter coming to my house in 2 weeks and revamping my home, taking down old makeshift home insulation and not very good walls either. And they're actually going to put up real insulation like people have in their homes, real walls and a real ceiling. So I'm not going to know what to do in my little house anymore. And an inside bathroom. I haven't had an inside bathroom in forever. So I praise the Lord. And it may not seem like much to anybody else, but God is wonderful. And not because He gives us things, because He doesn't owe us anything, but God loves us enough to give us the things that we need. And this is something that I've been praying on for a long time, and God does answer prayers. So thank you. Happy Sabbath. And God bless.
Well, praise the Lord, dear sister. Indeed, a makeover, and just in time before the winter gets here, or greater rainy seasons with the nor'easters or the hurricanes or whatever may be coming through. So praise the Lord indeed, and enjoy your new renovated place.
As far as winter is concerned, I don't have winter where I live. I guess I do. We have like maybe a week or two of what I would consider to be tepid or cool weather. I live in the south, deep south, and I live in the tropics, so we don't really see any snow. And but on the same hand, you know, if you've been here a long time, you get acclimated to the weathers. When it does become a type of a winter for us, it does get chilly. But as I said, what a blessing. My walls were made originally, and I'll tell everybody, there was a man that owned a carpet shop, and he donated his foam padding that when he did big commercial jobs, he gave me all the foam padding that was strips and leftovers so I could insulate between my walls. And as far as walls, I've never had a real wall. I had 8mm painting canvases on top of the foam insulation as my walls. So this is going to be something totally different and new. And like I said, a bathroom inside. And not that it matters to me one way or the other, but I thought it was pretty interesting. So I thought maybe God figured I needed to move inside for a change. But praise the Lord. Amen.
I like to share a scripture song that is called Nearer, Still Nearer. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in the haven of rest. Shelter me safe in the haven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, nothing I grieve, not as an offering to Jesus my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing, thy blood to depart. Grant me the cleansing, thy blood to impart. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies, I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp and its pride, give me but Jesus, as my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Nearer, still nearer, while I shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be, nearer my Savior, still nearer to me. Nearer my Savior, still nearer to me.
Amen, Joshua. Love that song. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a scripture song also to sing for y'all. And it is in Matthew 1:20-21. Joseph, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for what which is conceiving her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and that shall call his name Jesus, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:20-21. Amen, and good night, everyone, and God bless you all. I'm going to go and be with my daughter. Okay, bye-bye.
Amen, amen. And thank you for that scripture song, and thank you, Brother Joshua, for the hymn, Nearer, Still Nearer. It's been a while since I heard that, a beautiful hymn, and thank you so much, dear brother, for bringing it up and singing it for us. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and have a closing prayer, and then if there's other thoughts or questions or songs or testimonies that you'd like to give, we can do so afterwards. So let us please kneel and bow our heads for closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the words of inspiration that you have given us in the scriptures as well as in the spirit of prophecy to instruct us in the way of righteousness, to bring conviction and conversion to our hearts, and indeed to enlighten our minds in the way of righteousness. Father, we thank you for indeed seeking to save us when we were lost and away from following thy will. Thank you so much for arranging the circumstances to allow us to come into connection with the present truth, whether in a tract or a booklet or a written form or through one of your messengers bringing to us the truth as it is in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to recognize that many of us were once part of Satan's apostate synagogue, and that you opened our eyes to this and have brought us out of the apostate churches into the wilderness to be able to worship where your presence is found and to become part of your true church. Father, please forgive us, cleanse us, refine us, wash us through the precious blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior. Make us clean from the stain and sin of apostasy. Remove these filthy, stained garments from us and clothe us in the best robe of heaven, the robe of Christ's righteousness. For we indeed want to be received back into union, fellowship, and harmony with you, being your children and no longer children of the wicked one. And thank you so much for doing so. And thank you, dear Savior, for interceding for us before the Father and making all of this possible. And thank you, dear Spirit, for interceding as well before the Father and pleading before him the things we know not how to plead. Thank you so much for bringing us back home. I pray, dear Father, for those that are still making the decision between following thee or following the world, themselves, the church, or another God. Be with those that are unconverted in heart, that haven't yet made the choice to give you their whole heart. Be with those that are double-minded, those that are struggling with the decision to follow thee 100% of the way and not holding anything back for themselves. Please give them the extra grace and the strength and outpouring of thy Spirit to make that decision to follow thee regardless of the cost, and to no longer divide their heart's interests in other areas, but to give you their full surrendered heart, mind, and will. Thank you so much for working with each one of us on a daily moment-by-moment basis. And thank you that we are a day closer to getting off of this wicked, sin-cursed earth and enter into eternity with thee, never to part again. We pray, dear Father, that you'll be with all of those who have requested prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions. Please especially be with our dear Jake. Help him in his health condition, but especially heal his heart and bring him to thee before it's too late. Thank you so much for being our God and allowing us to be your children. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, dear ones, is there any other songs that you'd like to sing? Any thoughts or questions or comments? Any other testimonies or any requests? And please feel free.
Brother Rob, do you have any MP3 music on your site anywhere that can be downloaded? Because I don't have, you know, computer or laptops. I only use my phone. But I would like to be able to have scripture songs, and I was wondering if you have anything like that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, go to the home church section on the opening page, and then click on the far right underneath the banner called Music. And then you'll be taken to a section of music that deals with hymns, that deals with scripture songs and spirit of prophecy songs, and also deals with other religious songs. And when you click on one of those three sections, it will take you to all of the music available, and it's all in MP3 format. So we have, I believe, over 300 different scripture songs, and praise the Lord, and thank you to those here in our home church that have sung a lot of those songs. There's also, I believe, over 250 hymns and other religious songs that are also available in MP3 format. So indeed, it's in the home church section under music, and you'll be able to find them all there. And download freely to your heart's content, dear sister, and I pray that they will be a great encouragement and benefit to you. And when you learn some of them, or the Lord inspires you to make some of them up yourself, then please feel free to sing them here for us.
That's awesome. Praise the Lord, and I thank you, Lord. But dear Brother Rob, no matter if I can memorize the songs or not, I don't want to scare anybody. I can't sing. But anyway, happy Sabbath, everyone, and good night.
Well, happy Sabbath, and God's blessings tonight as well, dear sister, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you tomorrow. Now, a scripture song comes to mind. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. And I love that verse because there's no condition. It's unconditional. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And praise God that it is unconditional. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close? Please feel free. Well, it's been a privilege and an honor to be in fellowship with you all tonight. I pray that God will go with each one, continue to lead and guide you ever closer to Jesus Christ, and ever more fully to reflect his image and character to others. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:1-3. So praise the Lord, dear ones.